welcome to the Seeds Church podcast. Be sure to follow and subscribe to us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and on our Apple and Spotify podcasts. We hope you enjoy this inspiring message from our Sunday service.
Well, good morning. Good morning. It is great to see you. I just warn you, I've been listening to a Southern Baptist or Southern American preacher this week, so I'm ready for some amens coming back. Okay, so I'm ready for some stuff to happen. 20 weeks, and here we are. 21 weeks for those that are still online, so that's good. Glad that you have joined us online, and I just checked a little while ago, there's quite a few people watching us too, so welcome to you. I want to, first of all, publicly acknowledge the teams that have been part of what's happening today, and for the worship team, they were here Thursday night, full rehearsal, and I left at 10 and things were still happening. I want to acknowledge our tech team. They've been here for days setting things up. There's some there, one there, one there. There's a whole pile out the back as well. Do you want to give them all a round of applause? And just so good. So good. And our welcome team, they were here early. Some of them beat me here this morning, and they've got to clean between services. They'll clean after this service as well. So it's extraordinary, isn't it? We are so blessed in this church to have so many people who would serve us. It's such a great church to be a part of. You would notice, many of you that are part of the routine of the life of church will notice that there's no communion set up. We would normally do communion on the first Sunday of every month, but it is just too difficult to do at the moment. So just excuse us. We'll just put a pause on that for a little while. We'll re-engage with that when the time is right. But at the moment, it's just a little bit difficult. So we're just going to leave that aside. If you're watching us online, please put a comment in. There's people there waiting to answer prayer requests and to engage. So please, would you engage with us? I've got something on my heart that I want to share with you, something that I want to share now for the next 8 weeks. And it's a series called Momentum. Momentum is a beautiful thing, isn't it? Momentum when you've pedaled to the top of a hill and then you can turn on the other side and just glide down with momentum. Isn't anybody else experienced that? Is it just me, is it? Okay. Or when you've canoed somewhere. Some of my family know about canoeing, and you've canoed upriver or you've canoed somewhere and you've got the wind in your back and it just pushes you along. Isn't that beautiful? You with me? I can't see you, so you got to say yes or no. So, okay, I can see if I do this. So, or if you've been part of a team, dare we mention football at the moment? If you're part of a team and you've won or you're winning and the streak is just going your way, and how good is that? I won't say anything about the Crows. Positive momentum is a beautiful thing to be a part of. And the series that I want to lead you in is in the book of Acts, because the church, the early church, had momentum. It had beautiful, wonderful momentum inspired by the Holy Spirit. It wasn't for any lack of any struggle. There was lots of issues and lots of things going on, but the Spirit was working through them, as I believe the Spirit continues to work through us at this moment. And so for the next 8 weeks, I want to unpack this. I want to bring it to you because there's some stuff I believe God is doing in our church that in due course will be made known, and we'll see what God is up to amongst us. Let me lead you in prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here, to be in our safe homes, to be able to worship you, to be able to lift our voices up and say, you are God over all. We thank you for this opportunity. We pray that you would speak at this moment because we're listening and we want to hear your voice. Amen. I'm not going to muck around, so if you've got your Bibles and you want to open up to Matthew 28. Matthew is the first in the New Testament. It's one of the four written about Jesus and the stories of Jesus called the Gospels. It's the first book in the New Testament. And so Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, some of the most evocative verses that we will find in the Scriptures. And they have a huge meaning and a roll-on effect meaning for all those who love Jesus. Here it is, verse 18. Then Jesus came to them. This is from Matthew 28. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always until the end of the age." Amen. Over the years, this passage has been called, named the Great Commission, and it's been used by Christians to understand God's will for the life of every disciple, everybody who claims the name of Jesus. Now, if you're listening to me carefully, you might say, "Well, hang on a minute, Jonathan. You just said we're going to do a series in the book of Acts, and I've just got you to read from Matthew 28. But if you look in Acts chapter 1 and verses 7 and 8, and you can look at that in your own time, it virtually repeats the same command that Jesus has just given, except Matthew 28 is just a little bit expanded. So I want to start there today, knowing that Acts chapter 1 already picks it up. So let me communicate to you the bottom line of what I want to say. It'll be on the screen. The Great Commission tells the church what Jesus wants them to do. It is as simple as that. In effect, it's to carry on the mission that Jesus started, passing the baton on. So let me explain this, noting four things. Are you taking notes? Four things. You'll know when I'm about to finish because I get to my fourth. Funny about that. First, I want you to hover over the first five words in verse 18. Then Jesus came to them. And I want us to ruminate on those words for a little while. Jesus has been, up until this point, with the disciples for about 3 or so years, give or take a little while. He's been most recently crucified and then interred in a tomb. All of a sudden, two Marys go to the tomb and find it empty, two angels there, they're shocked. And the angels say, "Why do you look for the living amongst the dead?" They can't quite compute that. They walk out of there, bump into no one else but Jesus, who says, "Go quickly to the disciples and tell them to meet me at Galilee." Then verse 16 tells us that they did that, and then we get these five words, "Then Jesus came to them." The reason I think we should sit here with that for the moment is to understand clearly how Jesus works. So it was a time of fear and turmoil for the disciples. All that they knew about the world and how the world operated and all their hopes had been gone, severed, finished. There was chaos. The world that they stood on, the world they understood, the world they'd come to know had been pulled out from underneath them. They didn't understand the world that they were in. But Jesus doesn't remain in social isolation. Okay? He comes to the disciples. He comes to the disciples. Jesus is not COVID safe in some deserted island somewhere washing his hands to make sure he doesn't get COVID-19. Okay, he comes to his disciples. The good news is, this is how Jesus works and he still meets with his disciples. Do you believe that? I'm looking for some response. So you can give me some response and that's okay. Now, it's true, if you read the text, they actually went to the place where they were instructed to, but they couldn't perceive who Jesus was until he revealed himself to them. So he comes to them. Those so powerful words. Their world had changed. Does that sound anything like what's happening at this moment? Their world had changed. All their plans were gone. All their thought what was true and right has all gone different. And Jesus comes to them, as he does to his disciples even at this moment. Are you feeling alone or worried? Do you not know what's happening in the world around you? Are you trying to get used to this new 2020 that we're finding ourselves in and trying to struggle with, and stuff's happening that's out of our control? Jesus comes to us. And the beautiful thing is that Jesus, at the start of this couple of verse passage, Jesus comes to them at the start, and there's a whole pile of stuff in the middle which I'll unpack. And then at the very end, have a look at verse 20. He says this, "And surely, I tell you truly," this is exactly what's going to happen. That's that word surely means. "I am with you always." Till when? Till tomorrow? Till the end of the century? No. What does it say? Till the very end of the age. All that Jesus is asking us to do is bracketed by those two promises. He comes to them, his action, and what he's going to do. Be with us until the very end of the age. Let me look at verse 18. So Jesus starts talking. If you've got a red letter Bible, you'll see straight away, it's in red. It alerts you that Jesus is talking. And he says this, "Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Not only does Jesus meet us where we are at, there's something else about Jesus. All authority has been given to him. I love those two words, all authority. All authority. Not most authority, some authority, nearly all the authority, probably most of all the nearly authority, but all authority. And what's the limit of his authority? Nothing. And where is this authority? It's on earth, and then it's in heaven. And that's another word to go, all that you don't perceive in the galaxy, in the universe. So Jesus' authority is limited by nothing. And where is it found? Here and everywhere else that you can think of. Every single bit of authority is his. Now, if you look in the original language, the word authority there is a strong word, and it means, it has a sense that Jesus has the right to act, the right to decide, and the ability to dispose or to do with his property as he wishes. We understand that word authority, don't we? We get it. All authority has been given to Jesus. It's limited by nothing. It's as far as your mind can stretch that Jesus has complete control, has final say, and he gets to decide the outcome. It's even authority over those things that you lose sleep over. How's that? I was pondering this during the week, and I wondered, did Jesus get that authority after the resurrection or before the resurrection? It's probably an academic question academic argument to work on, because what Jesus is doing in front of his disciples is he's stating a fact, an eternal, everlasting, this won't change ever statement of reality. He has all authority and it will always remain with him. He has total legal and regal standing over everything. And this statement is there for us to notice, for us to see, but also for us to live our life in light of. We know the one who has all authority. And it frames what he's going to say next. Now, it might be that we are tempted to look around and think exactly the opposite. We might be tempted to think, wow, I look around and I see what's happening on the world stage, and you think God has left the building, or Jesus is not really in charge of his church. It doesn't seem to be that way. And the needs of the world seem to be falling flat. But I've got to tell you, that's just our earthly eyes and our human intelligence trying to make sense of what we're seeing in front of us. And that's not taking the full account all that Jesus has done over the vast history of time when he's been active amongst his people. The Holy Spirit works in so many ways, so many more ways that we can perceive. And the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are not in COVID lockdown. And in fact, they are working unhindered by virus. They continue their ministry amongst us and they're keeping on working. I had to tell you, I skipped forward a few pages and I read to the end of the book. Have you read to the end of the book? It tells us that everything will be all wrapped up and made right. It tells us that all the things we struggle with, all the issues that kill and destroy and maim and diminish will all be dealt with. All the nasty things will finally be put to an end. Can I get an amen at what I'm saying? You see, Jesus has all authority. Do you believe it? Jesus has perfect timing, and Jesus, get this, knows what he's doing. Let me lead you to the third point. The first word of verse 19, it's the word therefore. It's like a pivot word, a hinge word. It's like it changes. Because of that, you now know this. And when I was at Bible college, they would say to us, when you see the word therefore, you need to ask the question, why is it therefore? Just a little tip for you. When you're reading the Bible, there's implications from what was just said to what is about to come. Therefore, because of all this, because he is with us, because he promises never to leave us nor forsake us, because he has all authority, therefore, let me do this. Simply put, because of his authority, there are consequences for any and for all of the followers of Jesus. And that would be us, would it not? And those watching and billions others. We can't let ourselves be fooled here. Now, while Jesus was addressing the 11, it was general, not specific. It was for the whole church, not just for the 11. So this is the moment where things change for us as a church. This is where it all turns to include us and we get our mandate. In effect, what Jesus was saying, because I have the authority, because everything is subject to me, I now give you some authority to pursue the mission that I started. It's a strong sense that Jesus is saying, I'm transferring some of that authority to my church. I'm entrusting it to you. There's often a parody about what happens in heaven at this exact moment when the angels come around the throne and they're saying, okay, fantastic, Jesus resurrected, what's next? And the next minute Jesus arrives at heaven, he's finished his work on earth, and the angels are like, okay, what's happening now? Who are we sending next? And they're like, no, I'm giving it to my church. And the angels are like, you're joking. He's giving it to us. In his great wisdom, he's empowering us with this precious mission, the continuation of the message of grace to all those who don't hear it. And it includes you. Just think about that for a moment. Jesus, the Lord of all, the one who has all power and all authority, is inviting you to partake in this mission that changes lives now and changes eternities forever. You're part of that. Not alone, you're empowered to do it, to be an agent of grace. This is leading to the last point. I'm nearly finished. Jesus has brought all that to do exactly what he wants his disciples to do. He wants them to go. Now, I know that there are parts of this command to go that there are other things he wants his followers to do, go and teach and baptize, making disciples. But let's just remain with the go because we seem to have problems with the go. Okay, so let me just pad this out for a minute. There are not a lot of ways that you can misinterpret this word go, okay? It doesn't leave a lot of other room to do anything but to go. Do you believe me with this? Okay, I'm not, yeah, okay, you with me? Okay. It implies movement. It implies leave here and travel somewhere else. It indicates there is another place that you need to be. Don't remain there. You need to keep moving. It can never, ever, and no one has ever interpreted this in a static sense in terms of scholarship, except the church loves to do that. Jesus says, go and we stay. Jesus says go, and we build buildings and we just congregate in those and stay there forever. Jesus says go, and we ignore it. You cannot read this and think Jesus wants us to do anything else but to be proactive, to reach out, to have momentum, to go somewhere beyond the borders of which you are at this moment. There are lots of ways we can interpret that. And I read lots of other people's thoughts on this passage. Some thought it was meant to be read as you go. Others interpret it. I'll get my words out. Others interpret it to go to those who don't yet know about Jesus. Others are saying it's to go, or as you go, as in your movement, go. And others were saying, well, it's to go overseas to those who don't yet know about Jesus. I've got to tell you, it's all of those and more. As you go, go overseas. Wherever you go, go with this message. We have the message of a new life that we have been blessed with, that we have been graced with, that we have been given, that others around us don't yet know about it. I know that Jesus wants us to move out and share the great news that He releases captives. Do you believe that? He does. That He breaks bondages, addictions can be broken in the name of Jesus. That He actually sets people free. He releases prisoners, that He forgives sins, that He heals the past. Who's experienced that? Had your past healed, moved from where you were to where He wants you to be and where He's taking you? He brings wholeness and newness of life. He offers life, a life of fruitfulness and joy. That He enables you to have a life that has purpose and fulfillment. Sometimes He asks you to go in your home life. And so you need to be an agent of grace in your home life. Sometimes He asks you to go in your work life or your uni life or whatever you do for an employment. Sometimes He asks you to go in your recreational life. And some of us He's actually going to ask to go from this place to other parts of Adelaide or other parts of this world. Sometimes that's in a very deliberate sense that we are to go to places that have never heard the name of Jesus. Jesus wants us to go with momentum to people who have not heard about Him, to be a messenger of grace. So let me bring this to a spot where we can all access. When Jesus was saying these things, He was absolutely talking to the disciples who were there in the flesh and who were watching it all unfold. But it's clear He did not want it to remain there. And the church forgets this because we get comfortable and we get static and we get used to a whole pile of things the way we want to do it. And Jesus, I think He's sifting and He's moving His church and He's putting restlessness amongst us and saying, go, go. Don't stand still. In effect, what He was saying, what I have done while I was on earth by being an agent of grace, go and do that to others. He was saying, go and keep on going. And the word here, go, is a reoccurring word. It's keep on, keep on, keep on going. We haven't got a sort of a exact word to do it. It's a go with a recurring symbol over and over again. If this was not true, how would you have heard the message of grace? You know, you and I have been blessed with a grace. We are cushioned by it, let me tell you. We know that our past is clean. You can, your past, if you don't know that's the truth. You can have your past wiped clean. We know our future is safe. We know what it's like to have the highest authority ever give us unconditional support, love, and to welcome us into a family. We know what that's like. Not everybody does. God's desire is that everyone gets a chance to hear about these things. If you look at the end of the book, that last bit in Revelation, it says there'll be representatives from every tribe and every nation around God's throne praising his name. This go has an eternal implication to it. It changes people's destinies. I believe, here's the thing, I believe that God goes before us. In fact, the Bible tells us and shows us this in so many ways, and I'm going to pad some of those out in the next few weeks. I know that God prepares the way for the message to be heard, and even people like us are able to be adequate messengers of God's grace. We get to share it with others. We get to tell them what their true identity is and the freedom from living in Jesus. My friends, this is true for us individually as it is for us as a church. This church has momentum. It's time for us to use that for the goodness of God's grace and for his glory in this place, that his name would be glorified. Let me lead you in prayer. Father, we thank you. Thank you for this message that we have. We are blessed to know you. We have benefited so much from you. We thank you. We ask in our going that you would lighten our eyes up, that we'd see the world as you see it, that we'd burn like what you'd burn for the needs of the world, that we'd want to seek to meet those in the power of your Spirit, that we wouldn't be content with where we are, but with momentum, we would be able to move with you and your Spirit, reaching those who don't yet know about you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Well, thanks for listening to the Seeds Church podcast. We hope you join in with us next week. For more information, you can visit our website at seedschurch.org.